Okay, what I learned now is Hilchus Mukta. That's the last thing of Hilchus Shabbos that we're going to learn. It shouldn't take us that long. Today I just want to give a preface to Hilchus Mukta. Different kinds of Mukta, and what Mukta is, and right, people use Mukta interchangeably with anything Zasar on Shabbos. That's Mukta. Right? That Mukta is a specific Pashas rabbinic prohibition of moving things, not touching them. You're allowed to touch Mukta if you don't move it. You're even allowed to sit on Mukta if you don't move it. But the Isser is moving Mukta, Tiltul Mukta. Let me read you what he has over here from the Rambam and the Ravid, and it puts the whole rabbinic enactment about Mukta into perspective. The word Mukta itself means that you designate something to be outside your realm. You makta it. You push it away. It's the opposite of being Nathan preparing something for use on Shabbos. It's like being prepared bedafka not to be used. For various reasons. We'll see there's all different kinds of categories of mukta. But the bottom line is that these are things that you, for whatever reason, push out of your mind of having to, of using them on Shabbos. Now, why do the rabbis prohibit these kinds of things to be moved? Because of our Rambam. The rabbis prohibited moving certain things that you normally do during the week. You may normally move during the week. I mean, why did they prohibit these things? Because they wanted to make Shabbos different than the rest of the week. Like the Rabbanim wanted to enhance the idea of Shabbos and to make it a special day where you had to be forced almost to make it different than the rest of the week. So they said you can't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week, you can't run except for a Dvar Mitzvah. You can't talk about the same things on Shabbos you talk about during the week. There's all rabbinic things to enhance that Shabbos should be special. Shenemar daber dover. Kal v'chomer shelo yetiltul b'Shabbos ketiltul b'chol. Surely, what you move around on Shabbos shouldn't be the same kinds of things you move around during the week. Today, shelo yeh kiyom chol be'enom. It shouldn't be like just a regular weekday. So you should be forced to recognize that Shabbos is different. So one of the ways they did that was by saying that certain things that you move around during the week, you're not allowed to move around on Shabbos. That way you'll recognize Shabbos is different. The Yavo, the Hagbiel, the Sakin, the Pino, the Pino, the Bais, the Bais, or the Hatzni, Avon, the Mekiyotzim. Because if you didn't have this, if you could across the board move whatever you move during the week on Shabbos, so you could spend your whole Shabbos doing those things and not a malacha, and you'll move things from corner to corner, from place to place, inside the house. There's no carrying. There's no malacha involved. And you'll be involved in moving around secular things the whole Shabbos, and the Shabbos will be like a regular weekday. Sharihu bottle the ocean beveso. The Avakish dover she is basketball. Because people on Shabbos have nothing else to do. So they'll try to find something to keep themselves occupied. Nimse shalosh shavas ubitl tam shenemra batorah leman yanua. Comes out that you won't rest on Shabbos. Right, and rest from physical things and be involved in spiritual things. You'll be involved the whole day in moving around things that there's no malacha, but you're moving around things that are secular things. That's one reason. So one reason is to force people to make Shabbos different. Secondly, va'od kishivakar v'yataltu kelim shemalachtum le'iser efshe shiyasasik mohem ma'at v'yobel de malacha. Some of the things the rabbis prohibited are things that are normally associated with malacha, and if you are moving them around a lot, you may come to do a malacha. If you're allowed to move around matches, you may end up lighting a fire by accident, by mistake. We have the matches in your hand, you forget that it's Shabbos, or you forget that you can't light a fire. Right, if you're carrying, you're moving around hammers or whatever, you may come to do something that's a malacha. So therefore the Rabbanan prohibited also things that are normally used for malacha that shouldn't be involved in moving them around, because it'll be easier for you to do the malacha, and if you don't move them around, it'll be much more difficult for you to forget and to do the malacha. V'od, another reason. So that's a second reason. Third reason. V'od, nishim mitzvah sa'am enum bali umnes. Ela b'teilim kol yameihem. Many people are not professionals. They have any kind of profession. And therefore, their normal weekday activities aren't malachas. They don't come involved in any one of the 39 malachas in their normal thing. Okay? Kigon, atayolim, people who are just, you know, people take a tiulim all the time. Right? The Yoshvei Kronos, people stop, sit around, play backgammon or whatever all day outside. Shikoyim mayim him shovsim malacha. Most of their life, they're not doing any malacha. Nothing that's halachically malacha. Or even people in business. Not doing any specific malacha, except maybe writing. But otherwise, they're not doing any specific malacha. Most of the malachas have to do with agriculture, or with sowing, or with what's it called, making hides. People have no kind of contact with that. So most of the malachas, if a person doesn't do them on Shabbos, his Shabbos is still not going to be any different than what he does during the week. If he'd be allowed to walk and talk and move around things like you do the whole week, as long as it's not a malacha, for these people there'd be no recognizable difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week, because they anyway don't do malacha during the week. Therefore, the rabbis prohibited these things that encompasses everybody. Now everybody's going to have a Shabbos that's obvious that it's Shabbos. And for these reasons, that's why the Rabbanan prohibited moving around certain kinds of things. And basically what they permitted to move around are things that you need for Shabbos. But things that have no use on Shabbos, that are muktzah, basically set aside for non-use because of Shabbos, they said you can't move around. The Ravid adds another reason to these three. And he says that since one of the lamites malachas is carrying, the less things you move around, even in the house, the less chance you have of ending up carrying it outside the house. So it minimizes the things that you're involved in moving altogether, so it minimizes the chashash that you'll come to carry on Shabbos. So those are the reasons why it's usher to move certain kinds of things. Now, what are the kinds of things that are also to move? So, today again, we're only giving an introduction. These are the kinds of things that a person does not move around or has out of his mind on Shabbos, or normally. There are 8 different categories. The first category is muktzah machmas chisaron kis. The most poshut way of describing that is something that's usher to do on Shabbos. Its main use is something that's usher on Shabbos, like a hammer. But it's a hammer that you wouldn't use except for something that's usher on Shabbos. You wouldn't use it for something like cracking nuts. You could use a hammer for permissible things, to crack nuts. Right? So a normal hammer, you're not afraid. But if you have a very special jewelry hammer, right, that's very, very, what's it called, precision or whatever, you're not going to use that to crack nuts. So its main purpose, and it's probably its only purpose, is to use it for something that's usher on Shabbos. That's called muktzah machisaron kis. It doesn't have to be something very valuable. It could even be something that's not so valuable, but you're very careful not to use it. For instance, notebook paper. According to some opinions, today it's not the case, but according to some opinions, notebook paper is miyuchad for writing. So its purpose is something that's usher on Shabbos, and you don't use it for other people. You won't use it for a tissue. You won't use it for what's it called, because it's something that's chashev or stationary. Stationary is muktzah machmas chisaron kis. It's something that's main use is usher on Shabbos, and you don't use it for things that are mutar on Shabbos, even minimally. You only use it for its purpose. That's called muktzah machmas chisaron kis. And when we learn the halachas, that's one of the more serious kinds of muktzah. Can't be moved for anything. Then, some people hold that muktzah machmas chisaron kis doesn't have to be something that's usher on Shabbos, but something that because it's valuable, you don't move around the cloud. You have a very expensive mirror hanging on the wall. Its use is not something that's usher on Shabbos, but you never move it, because you're afraid that you maybe break it or whatever, so it stays on the wall all the time, right? Or even, well, it doesn't have to be on the wall, it could be anywhere. And you never move it out of its place. Some people hold that that's also called muktzah machisaron kis. Even something that doesn't have a prohibited use, but you never move it because it's expensive. Okay, when we get to the halachas, we'll see if we hold like that or not. That's the first category. Second category. is called Muktzah Machmas Gufo. Things that have no intrinsic use for them. Rocks, feathers, things that basically are dead animals or whatever, or even live animals, are Muktzah Machmas Gufo. There's no specific use for them. They're not a kli that you eat with or whatever. They're not something you need for Shabbos, right? So they have no intrinsic use unless you designate them for use. Use a rock as a paperweight, then it could be different. But plain ordinary rocks are not usually designated for any use. Those are called muktzah machmas gufo. Then there's muktzah machmas kli shemalachto le'isser. That's the example of the hammer, the regular hammer. It's something that normally is used for something that's usher on Shabbos, but it could be used for things that are mutter on Shabbos. That's a different category, and it's less strict than the category of mutzah machmas zorin kis. Then there's kli shemalachto le'heter, but it's not used often. Okay? Then there's kalim she'sorek lem kol shoa. Then there's kalim that you, what's it called, use all the time. Like forks, knives, spoons, or whatever. We'll see, even though they're not muktzah, but there is a kind of moving that's also with them also. Stop to move them for absolutely no purpose at all. It would be also these things also. Then there's what's called basis l'davar ha'aser, where something itself is not muktzah, but it forms a base to something that's muktzah. Then the base also, in certain circumstances, becomes muktzah. And then there's muktzah machmas iser, something that's usher because we're afraid you'll come to do some iser with it. For instance, a lit candle. If you move it, we're afraid you'll put it out. So that's usher to move because of iser. And muktzah le mitzvaso, something that's set aside for a mitzvah that you're not allowed to use for any other purpose, becomes muktzah on Shabbos and Yom Tov to move altogether. Like the decorations of a sukkah, or the walls of a sukkah, or the schach of a sukkah, are muktzah le mitzvaso. Is that a hint or a... okay. So those are the categories of muktzah. And the last thing is what's called moving. Different kind, moving something with your hand like this, that's the normal kind of moving. But there are other kinds of moving things, and not all kinds of moving are prohibited with all kinds of muktzah. So what are the different kinds of moving you can have? One kind of moving is that you're moving the thing for no purpose at all. You stop. You're what's it called? Bored. See, you pick up something and start moving it around. That's one kind of moving, and that could be also even in things that are mutter to use on Shabbos, like a fork, a knife, spoon. Could be those things. If you stop sitting at the table and you have nothing else to do and you start moving it around, could be that that's, according to some opinions, that's also. We'll see whether it is or not. That's called tilt b'shalol tzorech klal, and that applies to what's it called, to even things that could be mutter to move for some kind of purpose. Then there's tilt b'tzorech gufo, right? You want to use the thing for whatever its normal purpose is. That's called tzorech gufo. Then there's tilt b'tzorech mekomo. I want to move it because I need the place that it's on. I want the place to be empty, or I want to use that place. I don't want this thing to be where it is because I need the place that it occupies. That's another kind of tilt. For certain things, that's mutter. To move even things that normally be usher to move, just stam.
Right.
Stam, another, that's tilt, what's it called, machmas makoma, the tzorach makoma. Then there's tilt, in order, I don't want to use the thing, I just want to change its place, because it's in danger of being damaged, or it's out in the rain, and I want to bring it in. So that's called tultul. I don't want to use the thing, but I want to change its location. Okay? That is usher by many things, and only mutter by certain things. What's it called? To move something, that's called like moving it from the sun to the shade, or vice versa. Okay, then there's different kinds of moving. Tultul ayyidei dover acher. That's called tultul ayyidei dover acher, is called tultul min atzad. I'm not moving the thing directly, but I'm moving it through something else, which is not a basis. It's not where the thing that I'm moving is a basis for the muktzah, because then that becomes muktzah too. But rather, I'm what's it called, moving something, and by moving that thing, I'm going to move something muktzah. So in certain cases, that's permitted. Usually, that's only permitted if you're not moving it for the sake of the muktzah. You're moving it for the sake of the thing that's mutter. Then tiltul min atzad is mutter. For instance, you have a plate with cookies on it, and one of your kids dropped a few quarters into the plate, or a few agurot, shkolim, into the plate. So, and you can't tip them because the cookies will fall all over the place and they'll get ruined or whatever. So then you want to move the plate to serve the cookies. So the money wasn't there before Shabbos, wasn't put there on purpose, it was just dropped in. The plate doesn't become a basis l'davar aser, right? But if you move the plate, you move the money. So there you're moving the plate, not for the sake of the money, but for the sake of the cookies. And even though by moving the plate you're going to move the money automatically, that will be mutter. That's called tiltum min atzad. You're not moving something directly, only indirectly. And you're doing it for the sake of the something that's mutter, not for the sake of the mukta. That's mutter. Then there's tiltul kalachar yad. You're moving the mukta directly, but not with your hand. You're moving with your foot, with your body, okay, with your elbow. So that's called tiltul, what's it called, kalachar yad. And that's mutter even if you're doing it for the sake of the mukta. You can kick mukta according to the way we paskin. The Chazon Ish holds not like that. But the Maisa, we don't paskin like that. Mishnah Berurah says you could, and we're knowing like that. That you can kick mukta. If you have something mukta, you can kick it to the side. With your foot, move it with your elbow. And then that's not, they didn't aser tiltle only the normal way. If you metalkle it in an abnormal way, some hold it with the back of your hand, that's not good enough. Because that's derech to be metalkle. Even though it's called kelachar yad, in this case, that's not a heter. But with your foot, with your elbow, with your head, right? Unless you're a soccer player, the what's it called? That's not called the normal way of moving things. And that's an eitz. If you have something mukts on the floor, you want to push it to the side. Or you have some money on the floor that you want to push to the side, in order that it people shouldn't take it. You know, should be protected or put up for after Shabbos. So you want to kick it to the side or whatever. That's called tiltul kelachar yad.
It depends on the situation. Sometimes kicking is more normal than mommy shoes in the back of your hand. It depends on the situation.
Not really.
Towards the point, you want to clear away. So you don't bend down, pick it up. You push it off.
Yeah, but that's still not called tilt. That's still called. That's only the fact that normally, what's it called? That you're not doing something normal. You're doing something abnormal. But it's easier to do the abnormal way than the normal way. It doesn't become normal that way. But it could be the tiltle with the back of your hand is not a change altogether. Right, it's not a different way of being metalkel the cloud. And we get to the details within the details. Okay, so that's the hakdam of what mukta is, the different kinds of mukta, and the different kinds of moving. Again, it's only usher to move mukta. You're allowed to touch mukta unless the kind of mukta that if you touch it, you'll move it. That it automatically moves. Touch a bill, it's going to move. But if you touch a rock, a gigantic rock, it's not going to move. Okay, so you're allowed to touch books of things, and you're even allowed to sit on them, as long as you don't move them. Okay. Muksa machmas miyus. Yeah, but that's more like not muksa like gabi isur. But yeah, it's what's it called? There is a category like that too. But that's muksa for the. It's really muksa machmas gufo. Since it's miyus, it's like a rock or something like that.